Accession number 29537, Mr. Albert Arndt, Real 2. Now, we're talking about your time, you know, in Germany, in Waltershausen,
yep.
The Thuringian area, in the sort of moving towards the war. Now, what happened when you left school? In the last couple of years before you left school, when did you actually decide, because you decided to join the Merchant Navy, don't you? Now, does that come before or after you joined? Before or after you sort of joined the naval section of Hitler Youth?
Yeah.
Now, which came first? How did it work?
Well, it started actually when I was quite youngish, when I was maybe 10-ish or something. I used to look at pictures, and whenever I saw a picture with a ship on it and the sea, I was so interested in it, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I got books, you know, from school or libraries or whatever, and I read all about people travelling to these exotic places far away, you know. And I got so excited and so interested in all this, and I started making little ships myself out of wood and floated them, you know, put them on my mother's washing tub and floated them about, and had sort of fantasies about ships and all that. And that gradually grew, you see. And when I was 14 years old, I taught my father, I mean, they noticed it anyway. I was playing with ships and looked at ships and made ships. And perhaps, you know, the leaning was towards joining the Navy, but the Merchant Navy. But of course, in 1939, as you know, the war broke out.
So what about your time in the naval Hitler Youth?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. When did that start?
Now, when I was 14.
That's also 39. So it's all
That was all 39, yes. I was old enough to join the Navy Scouts, or the Navy Hitler Youth, right?
Now, tell me
as the war broke out, everything changed.
So, were you in the Navy section before the war broke out or not?
No.
No, right.
No.
Okay. Let's hold that until later.
Yeah.
So, what about the lead up to the war then? Because you're interested in this here. You're thinking of going into the thing.
Yeah.
Now, what about the lead up to war? What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember that things had obviously changed. And there was not much prospect of me becoming, joining as an apprentice, as it were, in the Merchant Navy. So I was also very good with my hands. I was a very practical man, a practical person. And we had to go after we passed out of the ordinary school with 14.
Now, when would that be? May?
That was in April 1939. You know, you get sort of an overall test, as it were. They tested you out what you might be useful for, what your career might be, what might point towards a career. And they said, you are so very good. What about engineering? And as there wasn't much doing regarding the Navy, Merchant Navy, my father, my parents, we talked about it, and I went into an engineering apprenticeship for 3 years. That was a state apprenticeship.
Now, when did you start that then?
And I started in just after Easter 1939. And you had to sign on for 3 years. It used to be 4 years, but because of the war situation, they cut it into 3 years. They put all the 4 years into 3 years.
Now, who were you an engineering apprentice with?
I was a firm at the outskirts of Waltershausen, our little town, which was called Arde Werk. The Arde Werk. Arde was the name of the one who owned that firm. It was roughly about 2,000 people employed, and we made, basically, they made trailers. You know, trailers to hang on lorries, and sort of all bits to go with it, couplings and things. And they took on every year so and so many apprentices.
Now, how did you find that work? I mean, we'll talk about that just out in outline of the actual work before we come to the declaration of war. Well, because you'd have 3 or 4 months before the war started.
Yes. Well, the setup was, in the first year, you went into a teaching department where you were taught over the first year all the basic principles of engineering, the practical part, and we had every Thursday, I think it was Thursday, what they call, I think you would call it day release now, we went to a trade school where you learned things to do with your trade. Yes, there was some extra math, there was some extra technical drawing, there was also, what was there? I can't remember, these were the two main things. Anything to do with engineering, of course technical drawing was a very important part. I think that was the main thing you were taught over the first and the second year. After you had completed your first year, you were handed out into the different departments within the complex. You were given to a skilled engineer. You worked with him together to actually, what you have learned, the basics, to put them into practice. You actually helped making whatever it was you were making. That went all through that second year. And you were perhaps 2 months in the trailer department, you were 2 months in the big smithery, the forge, where big things were forged. And then you were 2 months in another department. They made all different bits and pieces. So you got sort of a knowledge of what it was all about.
And did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, yes. And every year, after the first year, you had to pass an exam, practical and also theoretical. And I did very well.
Now, going back, I didn't realise your dad had actually been arrested. Do you remember that story? I mean, you don't remember how, but in 1938, he'd been arrested. Do you remember that?
No.
No, you don't remember. Okay. Now, anything else? So, what about the approach to war? What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember when war actually started.
Now, had you any idea it was coming? Were you aware it was coming?
I think the answer is yes and no. I mean, we were so taken up with what we were doing. I mean, my apprenticeship, my Navy Scouts or Navy Hitler, you think, I wasn't really interested in it. It did not affect me. It didn't sink in what actually war was. You know,
I thought you weren't in the Navy Scouts. But
yeah, from 14 onwards.
Right, okay.
You know, I was in the Navy Scouts.
Right.
And I remember that September day in 1939, it was during our lunch break. You know, I was still an apprentice. I was then in my third year.
This would be September the 1st.
September the 1st. It was during our lunch break. We had an hour for lunch, and we were usually, well, September was still nice weather. We were usually sitting out on the green or on benches. Or some of us, we used to climb up on top of one flat roof of the factory and we took our lunch boxes and our drinks up there and had our lunch. And I remember it came through the loudspeakers that from now on, you know, it was war and the soldiers were marching into Poland. That is what I remember.
Now, how did you react to that?
You know, I can't really remember that I reacted at all to it.
Now, tell me about, we better just quickly do, what did you do with the naval book, Hitler Youth, then?
Ah. We were given from one of the warships up in the North Sea or the Baltic, we were given a, what we called a torpedo boat cutter. That was like a whaler, if you like. with all the equipment, with sails on it, with all the oars on it, and all bits and pieces, because they had, that probably was a bit old and they had a new one, so they gave it to us, and it was brought to us on a trailer, you know, with a tractor in front, and we had to overhaul it. We had to strip the varnish off and, you know, repaint it, revarnish it, caulk it, and made it seaworthy, as it were. And we had near our town, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes away, was quite a largish lake. And that was, we were permitted to use that lake for our exercises, as it were. And we transported our whaler there. And that was during the summer, it was left in the water, you know, on the jetty. And usually evenings or Sundays, we went out there, we were taught how to row, you know, the usual drill, what sailors do. And we were also taught very elementary how to put the mast up, how to put the sail up, and when there was enough wind, we actually sailed back and forth on the lake. I mean, that was wonderful. And in the theoretical way, we really had to brush up the Morse code.
Now, tell me, you had signal training with them, did you?
Yeah,
tell
yeah.
Tell me about your signal training, because this is quite important, really, in the sense that you would do quite a bit of this. Take me through what signal training you had.
Well, first you had to learn the Morse code. You were then tested on it. And then once
now,
you...
How did you take to the Morse code? Because some people find it difficult, some people find it easy.
No, I took easy to it. Especially the visual ones, you know, with your, what do you call the lamps? The
oldest lamps.
Oldest lamps. We had these things. They were not as modern as they are now. They were sort of like black boxes with it.
So how did you learn Morse? How did they go about teaching you?
Well, you learned it first from paper. You had to learn, you know, di-di-da was that, and di-da was an A, and di-di-di-di was H, and so on and so on. Once you had that in your memory, you actually exercised this with the oldest lamp. You know, it was always, you were put up in pairs. One was actually giving out the signal, obviously very, very slow and very clumsy at times, and the other one had to read it and write it down. And then the roles were reversed, and that went on for a long time until you could actually really read it. And the second stage was to build up speed. You know, I mean, obviously it's important, you can't spend all day giving a message, you have had a certain time. Then we learned all the flag signals. You know, you had two flags. Were they red or were they blue? And there was a square in the middle of something. They were the standard signaling flags used by the Navy. And you had to learn that as well. You know, the alphabet. Then you had to signal in the same way as you did the Morse code. You signal, somebody had to read it, then the roles were reversed again, and so on. Well, that, of course, took quite a good time, a long time.
Were you introduced to wirelesses at all?
No.
So it's just Morse and flags?
Yes, yes. That was, yes, with the lamp.
Any other, anything else for the naval? Scouts. Were there naval scouts or naval Hitler Youth?
That was all Hitler Youth. Anything, Marine, Hitler Youth, and yeah, that was all the same.
And anything else you did with them?
We also learned elementary, I would say, the highway code of the sea. You know, if you see a ship coming towards you, what you should do in the night time when you see, you know, the starboard red and the green port, what to do and how to recognize what the length of a ship by the lights a ship had on, which was the front or the bow, which was the back or the stern. All these things we learned. We looked at the international flag, signaling flags. We had to learn some of it. And of course, we had to write little essays, answer questions and things like that. And during my, you know, I was still an apprentice for these 3 years. That Hitler used, of course, was spare time. But during my summer,
did that until 42 as well.
Until 42, that was Hitler Youth. But during my summer holiday breaks, I used to go to naval schools, where
This is a member of the naval section.
Yeah.
Now tell me, this is the naval school at Sarfield, is it?
Sarfield, yeah, yeah.
Now, what would you do there?
Well, you did exactly the same, but in a more concentrated way. And you had to pass quite a number of exams. Not just that you knew the Morse code or the signaling code, also in the speed you could put it out. And you were asked certain questions on a little bit of navigation came in there, like the solar system. You know, you had to roughly know a bit about the sky, but it was still elementary. And of course you had a lot of sport. We had a lot of sport, physical fitness, which I enjoyed it. You know, you got in the morning and you did your bit of running or swimming, whatever, and then you had your breakfast, the usual thing. And had a lot of rowing as well on the river. Saalfeld is the town, and the River Saale, there was a big reservoir, and that was given to us where we could do our rowing and exercising and so forth. And that usually was about 10 days, 2 weeks. And that was very enjoyable. I did like that.
Now, how did the war affect you when it started then? How did it affect you at work, firstly? I mean, you were working in engineering for...
Yeah.
Did they carry on making trailers, or they switched to munitions, or army material?
They switched to munitions. I would say round about 41, 42. Because, you know, when you went in one of these large departments where they had all center lace and machinery chucking away there, they used to make first parts, but later on we noticed they made sort of shells, as it were, you know, artillery stuff. But we were never involved. I was never involved in that because I was still an apprentice. I was still learning.
So that happened, what, 41 or 42?
Yeah, around about that time, yeah.
So they didn't have for you, work carried on much the same from the sound of it?
Exactly the same as it always was.
Mm. Now, what about outside? Was the rationing brought in? Food or clothing rationing?
I think we had, for certain things, we had, yes, that there was a kind of ration cards or coupons, I would say. Because sometimes when mother says, oh, we need some more bread, I was given that coupon and you went to the baker and you stamped it or whatever and you got a loaf of bread. Yeah, I think there was rationing, but it seemed to be always plentiful. I mean, I've never, ever been hungry.
What about clothes rationing? Were they rationed?
I can't answer this. I don't know.
Now, what about the introduction of, air and gas precautions? Let's do gas first. Were you given a gas mask? I mean, in Britain, they were given gas masks. Were you issued with a gas mask?
Never. No. Not in until 42, when I joined the Action Navy.
Yeah. Not as a civilian, they weren't issued.
Not where we lived. I've never seen a gas mask.
Now, what about the blackout and air raid precautions? What do you remember that?
We had to have the windows blacked out, either by very thick curtains or they had these, whatever they were, cardboard or something, sort of inserts you put on the windows.
Like shutters?
Shutters, yes. I mean, some people had shutters on the outside anyway. Yeah, but I have never experienced any air raids or anything.
What about the lights on the road and things like that?
Yes, cars had, even bicycles. I used to cycle a bit from one place to the other. We had to have that slot on the headlights.
Did it make it difficult cycling at night with very little.
Not for us, not for youngsters.
Now, any air raid shelters, or was it just not, they're just not going to bomb Thuringia?
We didn't have air raid shelters. No.
There were no air raids at all in your area?
I can't remember one. I remember once or twice when the sirens went. You know, we had on top of the parish church, it was quite a high tower, and on top of the town hall, there were two of these siren things. They used to test them now and then, but that was announced. But I have never experienced an air raid since I joined the actual Navy.
So there were no air raid shelters at all?
No.
Now, anything else you remember about the first couple of years of the war? I mean, did you follow the progress of the war? You know, newspapers and the rest of it.
Well, I can, up to 1942, you know, I mentioned early on, I had an elder brother for my father's first marriage. He was 9 years older. He was called up around probably the middle of 1939 or so. He was called up. He had done his 2 years conscription earlier on. He was called up into the Air Force.
And did you know what was happening to him?
And then he was sent to France. He was once or twice, he was on leave. Of course, he had his uniform on. He was a Unteroffizier, non-commissioned officer, is it NCO or something like that. We didn't talk, whenever he was home, we didn't talk a lot about war or what he did or what he didn't do. We just had a nice time together. We, you know, went out for walks. And my father had quite a big garden. We used to be in the garden a lot. Unfortunately, it was on the 11th of January, 1941, when we had that dreadful telegram saying that Herbert Arms was killed in France. It didn't tell us how and what and where. You know, they get the usual. We are regret to inform you that so and so and so and so.
Did you ever find out what had happened?
Not entirely. No, not entirely. We went in 1971. My wife and my oldest son and me, we went to France to a place called St. Andrew, where there is a huge German war cemetery. And we got informed through the International War Grave Association or whatever, where actually his grave was. And we went there for a week or so to visit that grave. But I never really knew how he died. I don't know. That was never.
So what happened? That must have upset you awfully, obviously.
We were actually very close. I had two younger brothers as well for my father's third marriage, but they were all 8-10 years younger. Yeah, I was very close to my brother. He was a very gentle person. He was always very polite. He was always well turned out without being over fussy. And he was a good listener. He listened to what you had to say. And of course, when we had the news, it was quite bad. Father took it quite hard, and I cried my eyes out.
Now, anything else happened in 1941 that you remember? You were working as an apprentice.
Yes.
Life going on. Life going normal.
The normal things. Yes. Yes.
Anything you remember from that year?
Oh, not offhand. All I remember, we carried on as usual. I passed my yearly exams. In 1942, just before Easter, there was the passing out exams. You know, practical, theoretical, and oral. I passed it.
So that was what it looks like, April 42, Easter.
April 42, yeah, it's always Easter, around about Easter time. And you get your certificate, which means you are now a skilled and accepted engineer.
And what were you going to do? Carry on at Aidwerk, same place, or?
Well, in 1942, I had already the idea that I wanted to join the Navy. I discussed it with my father. At first, he wasn't very keen for me to go. I was then 17. Presumably, which I can understand, I mean, he lost already one son, hasn't he? And he wasn't sort of terribly keen. But then things turned round. I mean, I remember when some of our friends, some of our relatives, like Uncle Alfred and sons, were killed in Russia. Things were not so good, apparently. And we realized the time would soon be coming that I would be called up. I had a mate, if you like. He was involved in these calling up centers. So he knew a bit what birthday, what year was sort of next in line. So I discussed it with my father again. I was 17. I passed out. I still worked at Aidwerk. We made, I don't know what the parts were, but I think it had to do with the war efforts, parts for whatever. I don't know. We were never told. You just get your drawing, don't you, and your tools, and then you make it. I kept on working there. And then in the summer, I signed up, I volunteered to join the Navy.
Where did you go to volunteer?
Well, to the, what do you call them? Office.
Recruitment office.
Recruitment office, correct. Yeah.
So you went there to volunteer. What was the process of joining? What did they make you do?
Well, you signed on, you filled out numerous forms, as always, with details, and you had to produce a permission from your father. He gave you permission to join up, because, I mean, I was just 17.
Were you underage by the rules?
Well, I would have thought so, otherwise why would I need a permission from my father? He agreed for me to join the German Navy.
And what sort of tests or medicals did they put you through to allow you to do that?
Well, at the time, nothing. At the time, nothing. No, I just was, you know, I was just told, yes, everything is okay, you are on the records, and so you wait till you hear from us. And in August 1939, I got the call-up papers. They told me where to go to on a certain day to report to.
And where was that? Where did you have to go?
I think a place called Brake.
Brake
in Oldenburg is the county. That was sort of North Germany.
In August 1942.
Yeah.
And what were you, who were you joining there? What unit was this?
Oh, I can't recall it. It's written down somewhere. It was the 12th Schiff Stamm Abteilung. Well, Schiff means ship. Abteilung means sort of, can't find a word.
That's all right. They
like company or something like this.
Now, and this was a break.
Yeah.
This is a training unit.
That is a training unit. You were you were registered, you were fitted out, you were given your quarters and all these things that took the first week. You had your medical.
Now, hang on. You got your medical when you got there. What was the medical like? How rigid?
Well, it was a thorough examination of everything, including x-rays and sight tests, hearing tests. And then you were given one or two injections, whatever they were for, I can't remember. That was a standard thing.
Now, how did they treat you? What was the sort of reception? Because you arrive as a civilian.
Yeah.
How did they sort of treat you when you first got there in August? You got there, what, 1st or 2nd of August?
Well, I did not feel anything out of the ordinary because I was sort of, in some ways, I was already used to that kind of thing.
Through the Hitler Youth,
yes. I mean, there was discipline. You had to